Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and glad to be back behind the mic. I've been struggling a little bit. I had some heart issues that I had to take care of in the hospital, and God has really blessed me, and I'm back. I'm happy to be here, and we're going to do face-to-face for a long time to come. Well, this week we want to have as our interview a guy that I've known for a long time. I was the Indiana University basketball chaplain from 2000 to 2006 under head coach Mike Davis. And one of the players that we had was Eric Suhr. And Eric went on to do a number of different things. He played after I left the chaplaincy. And Eric is an investment counselor now, but also he is the color commentator for Indiana University basketball. And he just does a tremendous job. I really appreciated him working alongside Don Fisher, who's been there for many, many years. And Eric also has a really strong testimony for Christ. He came late in life, you might say, to his testimony. He came late in life to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And a lot of that has come through his wife. His wife is the daughter of a prominent pastor in Bloomington, and she's done a lot to help him with his spiritual life. But Eric is a growing Christian and someone that I really am thrilled to know, not just as someone who we've done an interview with, but as someone who I consider a friend. So we will take a break, and when you come back, we will let you hear the interview that we did a couple of years ago with Eric Suhr, the color commentator for Indiana University basketball. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Our guest this week is Eric Suhr, a friend of mine. Eric Suhr, is it Suhr?
Yep.
Suhr, I got it right. Suhr. I've known you for a long time. I want to make sure I got the name right. Eric Suhr is the basketball color analyst for the Indiana Hoosiers, working with the legend Don Fisher. Is this your second, third year doing that?
Oh, I've been doing it 5 years now.
Five years.
Time flies.
I just hadn't caught up with you. Yep. And you're working with Don, of course, who is one of the all-time great announcers. Was that a good fit? Was that a little intimidating coming in? Or I know you guys sound tremendous when you're on the air.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was intimidating. Is a word you can use. Don and my dad do the football games together.
Right.
So we've had a relationship with the Fisher family for quite some time, and playing at IU, I got to know Don a little bit better. And when Royce Waltman, who did a marvelous job with Fish, fell ill, you know, Don asked me to step in. And I was kind of like a fish out of water. Didn't know what I was doing, had no aspirations to be in radio long term, but we really hit it off, and we get along very well together. And doing the games is an absolute joy because I love Indiana basketball so much, and I'm able to follow the team on the road, watch the wins, experience the losses, go through the ups and downs with the team. And the best thing about it is when they're playing bad, I don't get yelled at, which is really good, right? So I really love doing the games with Don. It was intimidating at first, but he is an absolute professional. Always has been, always will be, and working with him is very easy. It's just a nice fit, Don and I.
Yeah, and your analysis is very technical. I've listened to a lot of IU. Of course, I've been involved quite a bit with IU myself over the years, and I have kind of become friends with Don and have kind of seen some of the color commentators that he has. In my opinion, you are the most technical that they've had in a long time. I mean, you really understand the game. Not that guys before you didn't understand it, but maybe it's just the fact that your communication skills are a little stronger. But technically, you really understand the game. Do you have to study a lot more to really kind of figure out what's going on the court?
You do study before the games. You've got to know the other team. You've got to know what Indiana's trying to do. I will tell you, as a player at IU, at only 5'9", one of the keys to my success is preparation and understanding that I can't out-jump or out-physical or out-shoot the other guy. I've got to understand kind of the nuances of the game and understand how to gain an advantage. So when I'm watching basketball, those are some of the things that I see, because those are some of the things I concentrated on as a player, understanding positioning on defense, understanding who you're guarding, understanding how we can get it the best shot possible each possession. That's what I did as a player, and that's how I had to survive. I mean, if I didn't do that, I wasn't going to wow you, right? And I didn't have the physical prowess to get the job done. Because of that, I mean, that's how I see the game. So I think that just naturally comes out when I'm kind of doing the color.
It's kind of interesting. Your dad is the football analyst, and your dad and Fish have a much different communication relationship. He's very acerbic, if I could use that word. He's he tells it straight on like it is, and I would imagine that sometimes he goes to football practice and guys kind of come around and say, hey, why'd you say that? You seem to be much different. I know there are times when you can be critical, or you can be not critical so much, but you can talk about what's going on and say, you know, that shouldn't have happened, or this shouldn't happen. But you and your dad, you're much different. Has your dad given you any advice as to how to do this job?
He has not. He's kind of just let me kind of find my own way. I will say I listen to the football games. He is really talented on the radio. You sit down from start to finish in a football game, listening to Don and my dad, it's a joy. I mean, they work really
exactly
well together. And he's got a completely different style. But I will tell you, ever since he was a coach for me when I was in AAU and worked a little bit there. But when it comes to like detail stuff on playing in a game or working out and practicing, he has been very hands-off. He's always stressed working hard, giving it my all. But the detail stuff, he has always allowed me to be myself and to do things the way that I want to do. And I think that freedom has kind of let me flourish. It's no different in the radio. He has been very hands-off. If I come to him with a question, he gets super involved then. But he's always let me kind of do my own thing and work really hard at my craft and whatever it is I'm working on in life. He's let me be me. And that's one thing I look back and say, wow, I mean, that's a huge blessing to have a father like that, that stresses hard work and doing things the right way, but lets me make it my own. It has always been something that I've loved about my dad, and the radio has been no different. He's always been very hands-off and been there for me if I need him, but if I don't, he kind of lets me do my own thing.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you in doing this job? What's been different? I know you, of course, were very much of a student of the game, but what have you had to adjust to in becoming a color commentator?
Well, you're not allowed to curse. I don't curse, but there's times where if I'm watching an IU basketball game, you get so engaged in it. And as a fan, since I was 2 years old, that's the one thing I want is Indiana basketball to win, right? And I've got to kind of curb my, I won't say language, but just frustration at times, and just be positive and talk about what's actually happening versus wanting to go crawl in a hole and you know, run away. And just to kind of curb my emotion has always been something that I've worked on. Because I was just a fan when I started. I had no radio background, just going out and watching the games and screaming and yelling for the team and cheering them on. To kind of curb that down a little bit has been a big adjustment for me, to stay even keel and just say what I see versus letting the emotion get into it.
As a player, you went through some adjusting times with IU. I think, were you with three different coaches, maybe two?
Two different head coaches.
Two different head coaches. You had Mike Davis, who was very laid back. And then you had looked like kind of the opposite in Kelvin Sampson. You have to go through different times where you have to adjust. I know you had to take on a different role when the coaching changes, dude. And it's kind of been the same thing with your announcing. You've kind of come out of the Zeller era, which was very strong, and now it's been kind of an average year, so to speak. How has that affected you each year, both in your playing and your announcing?
Well, playing college basketball is a full-time job. It is. And as I mentioned before, there are some athletes that are just naturally gifted and blessed. And I knew that when I chose to come play at Indiana, I was going to be starting behind the eight ball. There was a lot of hurdles that I had to get over just to prove myself worthy enough to get into the game. I got in one game my freshman year, and I said after that year, I just got to keep working, keep trying to prove myself. And having a chip on my shoulder was always something that kind of helped me get through my college experience. When I had a new coach my senior year, the whole process started over again, which was a very frustrating thing for me, because you work hard for 3 years, you become a guy that's starting in some games, playing 20, 30 minutes a ball game, to all of a sudden now you're the 5'9", former walk-on that needs to earn playing time. And that was a big adjustment for me, and it was a frustrating one. But I just had to kind of pick myself back up my senior year and try to prove myself all over again. Some of these guys, as we've had some coaching changes, they're going through the same stuff. And fans are going through the same stuff with some of the coaching changes. But you just got to stay positive, and you've got to continue to grind and work hard at whatever you're trying to do. And that's the mentality that I've tried to kind of approach, whether I'm doing the radio or basketball or with my family. And there's going to be tough times and times where you feel frustrated and down. And as long as you can pick yourself back up and continue to work hard, good things tend to happen. And whether it's in basketball or family or work or life, whatever it is. I mean, that's kind of my way of life, really, and it always has been.
You've earned the respect of a lot of fans. They cheered your name, I know. And I know one coach that really you had a moment with was Coach Krzyzewski of Duke. Tell me about your Duke moment, if you will.
The Duke moment stands out to a lot of fans. It really does. It is a nationally televised game. It was a game where we were down early big and we came back. I played a lot of minutes that game, and people talked to me about the Duke game.
And what year was that?
That was my senior year, 2007.
Yep.
And quite frankly, I look at that game as a loss. I don't look at that game as like one of my fondest memories. I really don't, because I can remember games where we beat Purdue. Games where we beat Kentucky. Big time games at home against Michigan State when they were top 10 in the country. The wins are really what I remember. The Duke game, I remember us getting beat, and I remember a couple turnovers that I had. And that's surprising to some people, because I think a lot of folks look at that game as maybe my most recognizable game, because I played well and it was a big spotlight type game for Indiana University. It's a memory to say the least, because meeting and hugging Coach Krzyzewski after the game and having him say kind words about me in the post game is something that I'll never forget. But quite frankly, as a competitor, it was a tough pill to swallow losing that game, because we were close and we had a chance. And looking back on it, there's a few things I could have done differently to help the team.
Eric Suhr is our guest. He is the color commentator with Indiana University basketball and a former player with Indiana University basketball. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Eric, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Eric Suhr, color commentator and longtime friend. When I was the chaplain and Eric was on the team, we had a chance to be together a couple times. Eric, tell me a little bit about your spiritual journey. How did you come to know Jesus Christ?
It's a really good story, and it's one that I love to tell for a lot of reasons. But I grew up Lutheran, however, not going to church very often. We went to church on Christmas and Easter for the most part. And as a young kid growing up, did not have that foundation, did not have that love or support, wouldn't call myself a follower of Jesus Christ. And I went through a period of time where, when I was in my mid-teens, went through a tragic loss of a sister, and went through a little bit of a depression, trying to grow up as a kid, 15 years old, going through puberty. It's hard enough as it is, let alone when you're trying to figure out what life is all about. And I'd say I went several years where I didn't say one prayer, all the way up until probably college. So I was very lost at that time. And I met, I started dating a girl who's my wife currently, end of my freshman year, and she was a devout follower. And she's just a strongest Christian that I know. And she literally saved my life. Her faith and her dedication, and her love for me changed my life. And right when we started dating, I asked her out, and she said, it's really important to me, if we're going to start dating, that I date someone that has similar values and beliefs as me. Do you love Jesus Christ? It was that conversation. And I was all over this girl. I was smitten, right? And I wanted to date her bad. So I said, well, heck yes, I am. And anything just to let her know that I was committed to her and to have the opportunity to date her. And the relationship we had together, as we continued to date, her just continuing to push me to grow my faith, it was like a light switch went on for me. And without her, I don't think that I would be a follower. And the reason I love to tell that story is, you know, we are called to reach out to others. We are called to profess our love for Jesus Christ and to share the good news with others in the community. And it is a really difficult thing to do, something that I struggle with every day, to put myself out there. My wife had the courage to tell me at that critical moment that if we're going to do this, here's what I need from you, because this is important to me. And that's not an easy conversation to have with someone, but because of her courage, she's changed my life dramatically. And now I have that foundation. When bad things happen to me, I have that foundation of my faith to fall back on, when I didn't as a kid. And it's night and day how my day goes every single day when good and bad things happen. To have the foundation to stand on is a life-changing thing for me.
And you're involved right now with guys that are going through the same thing, as far as what guys that have been, if I can use the word, coddled, guys that have had basketball at the center of their life. And they're coming along at a time when they have to make a lot of decisions. Do you ever have the opportunity, just offhandedly, I know that you can't be a minister in the job that you do, but you obviously have a lot of contact with guys and have a chance to get to know them. Do you ever have a chance to talk to them about Jesus Christ?
I have not yet, and that is something that is such an important thing, to be ready when your time comes. I'm a firm believer that we are called to bring people to Jesus, not to push them away. And in some folks, it's a fine line. In college basketball, it's very true. You devote a lot of time to your craft. You have to be great. And there's going to be a moment where someone approaches you with a question and says, "Hey, I know that you're a Christian. Tell me about that." And to be ready and armed for that moment is something that I'm constantly thinking about and worried about, that I won't be ready, ready enough to make a difference. But it is. It's, as you mentioned, you don't want to be pushing guys away by getting all in their face when they're not ready, but you also want to be a great example for people, so when they look at you, they know that, oh, that's what a Christian looks like. And or if they ask you a question, you're ready to talk about and describe why you love Jesus and why you are a Christian. Those are the moments that I'm waiting for. And but I have, with the team, I try not to be too pushy. I mean, this right. is their thing, and I'm there if anyone ever needs me, of course, and I want to be an example.
College basketball's had a tough year. The culture of college basketball seems to be changing. Are you seeing a cultural change, even from the time that you played back from 2003 to 2007, as the way it is now? And of course, the one and done is the big deal in college basketball now, and that may be on the verge of going away, or at least being adapted. Are you seeing a cultural change in basketball?
I don't know if I'm seeing a cultural change in basketball. The rules on having to go 1 year before you go to the NBA or 1 year out of high school changes things dramatically. It really does. And I think college basketball is worse for it, because you've got teams that have young players that haven't had time to develop. And we've seen that the last few years. Teams that have won the championship have more experienced players on their team. That culture has changed a bit, the kind of what college basketball looks like from a talent perspective or a team perspective, I think, has changed. When it comes to kind of the characters that are in the game, there's good and bad characters with whatever you're doing, right? So
sure.
That, I think, has always been there. I think it will always be there. It's really tough to get that out of the game. And as changes happen, I think people will adapt. And that's what I've seen. I just think the game has changed with the one-and-done rule. Teams have a lot of talent, but maybe not yet the experience of playing together to where they can win really big games down the stretch. And we've seen that the last few years as more experienced teams have won.
Let's go back to your broadcasting a little bit just for a moment. As you were growing up, you obviously listened to a lot of different broadcasters in basketball games and other sports. Was there a broadcaster that you kind of model yourself after, somebody that you really admire?
I wish I could find someone I model myself, because at times I feel like maybe I should just try to be like this guy. He's done a really good job, you know. I can remember like Raftery with the kiss off the, you know, you know, those types of things. You always are Dickie V and whoever it is that's doing a game. Such personality and talent, you know, and the way that they bring the game to life is something that Obviously, I would love for people to hear me and say, wow, he really brings the game to life, right? I've never really been that intentional. I've just of trying to model myself off of somebody else. I've just tried to go out there and do the best job that I can, and hopefully it's good enough for fish to keep me.
Yeah.
Because I tell people a lot, you know, I really enjoy doing the color commentating. What I love is Indiana basketball. And without Indiana basketball, I wouldn't be doing this color commentating. Yeah, this is something that I'm doing so that I get to go to the games, get to support the team, and ride through the ups and downs with the players. That's what I love. The actual doing the games, I'm just trying to do the best job I can.
Yeah. Eric, sir, it's been great having you on the air, and it's been great getting back in contact with you. Do you have, like, a favorite verse or anything like that that means a lot to you?
Not off the top of my head. You know, the one that you can always fall back on is just the grace of Jesus Christ. And it sounds like such a cliche, but to know that we are all fallen and we are all forgiven, I think is so important for people to remember. Because you can get caught up in kind of segregating believers versus non-believers and thinking, I think people are naturally believers that maybe they're right and someone else is wrong. But just to know that Jesus died on the cross, John 3:16, is one that you can always fall back on. That's such a cliche. But to know that we are forgiven and we're all in the same boat. Is so important, and to lose track of that, I think, is a disservice to the faith, and one that I try to hold on to.
Well, I think that's great. I think that's something that face-to-face tries to do so much. We've had so many different athletes and so many different people, and the people that are listening need to know, of course, just what you've said, that that we're all forgiven, and that all we need to do is just to allow Jesus Christ to come into
exactly.
our life.
And that's our job, is right. to find others, to tell them the good news.
Eric, sir, thanks for being with us. Good luck. We'll enjoy listening to you again on Indiana basketball when
thanks,
it comes
Tom.
Around.
Yep.
All right. Eric, sir, the color analyst for Indiana University basketball. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. As you probably know, if you're an Indiana University radio listener, that it's kind of a father-son team. Now, Don works with Bucksor on the football broadcast, and that's Eric's dad. And then, of course, Eric is the color commentator on basketball. So Don Fisher has gotten to know the Sur family very, very well. As we said, they do a great job, and we hope you enjoyed the interview. We're always looking for things to share with you that that go along with sports and Jesus Christ's influence in sports. And one of the things that you won't hear a lot about, because the NFL likes to downplay it, is something called My Cause, My Cleats. And the NFL players in Week 14 were given the opportunity to design their cleats, their shoes, for a cause. And there were a number of Christian ball players who put on their cleats various organizations that they believe in that are Christian organizations. For instance, Ben Watson of the New England Patriots had an organization called One More. Ben, of course, was with the New Orleans Saints, and he has done a lot with them, a lot with this One More organization. Seattle Seahawks wide receiver DK Marshall wore pink and green cleats to honor Prison Fellowship, and Prison Fellowship has been around for a number of years. Marcus Johnson of the Indianapolis Colts had on his cleats, he had Young Life. Detroit Lions quarterback David Blau honored the life of Tyler Trent, longtime Purdue fan and a Christ follower who had a very public battle with cancer before passing earlier this year. And there were just a number of them. Nate Solder of had Compassion International, and I could go on. There were a lot of different ones. Carson Wentz of the AOI Foundation. There were just a lot. But we thought that you'd be interested to know that, because you may have heard about some of the causes, but and there were a lot of great causes, and it's a great thing the National Football League did. But a lot of the Christian organizations, they did not mention much, so we thought you'd like to know that. Well, if you'd like to know more about Face-to-Face, we hope you check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. We have a number of interviews up there, and we have a number of things that I know that you're going to enjoy, so I hope that you'll check that out. And I hope that you'll be able to hear some of the interviews that we've done in the past. We've got a lot of them. We've done just literally hundreds of interviews, and they're not all up there, but a number of them are up there, and I hope that you have a chance to listen to that. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. And here's what it says. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. During this time of heart surgery, I might make this personal note that I felt very close to God. I felt like God has helped me in my recovery. I felt a tremendous peace, and I know there's a number of you out there listening who have gone through the same thing, and I hope that God has spoken to you. And I hope that it's been a time when you've seen your recovery come along as a result of what the great physician can do. I really want to praise and thank him for what he's done. I'm going to get better every week, and we're going to have face-to-face for a long time to come. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.